Praise God. Thank the Lord this morning. Wonderful singing. Amen. Calvin and Juanita and Brother Joe Barry, I'm telling you right now, knocked a home run, didn't he? Pray. God the Holy Ghost did. I thank the Lord for that. Oh, aren't you glad? I talked to Miss Jean Pope this morning and saw Ricky on Friday afternoon late. And he knew me, but he wasn't real responsive. And we prayed and talked with him, had a prayer. And the Lord reminded me what he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I quoted some of that and what David said, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And after I prayed, I reminded the family, Jesus went through the same thing. He approached death. He told his disciples, he prepared them for his death. They were anxious and worried. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. I'm just going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. And what a blessing that wonderful song was. And I know Miss Jean and Ricky have been watching every Sunday morning. She's very busy this morning, a lot of things going on. But I trust that she saw that and was blessed by that. And to know that, thank God, our loved ones to be absent in the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 9. And again, I'm so glad that you're here this morning. What a blessing to see some who've not been able to be here. And we got some birthdays today. Mitchell had a birthday a few days ago. LaVon, if you don't let me forget it, we'll sing happy birthday before we leave this morning to recognize birthdays for the month. But I want to share with you, you know, the Bible says that Lord saved us, but we became workers or laborers with him. He said of that church of Thessalonica that they turned from idols to serve the true and living God. And you and I ought to serve the Lord. You may have a life vocation. You may be a nurse or a doctor or a farmer or a construction worker or not just a housewife. That's a major project, but a housewife. But all of us have life's occupations, things to do. But in not doing all those things, we have to keep reminded. Our text verse for this whole year is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. I'm going to just quote that. You in Matthew 9. And that is this, we are laborers together with God. You and I are to be laboring for Him. What are we to be laboring to do? Well, we are to reach people for Christ. We're to give a life of glory for the Lord. We live our life to glorify Him. And we'd live our life to make an impression on others so they'll trust Christ. Because you see, this coming today, the Bible said that the judgment seat of Christ, when we'll all have to give an account of ourselves before the Lord for the things done in our body, whether they were good or bad. Also, there'll be that time of commendation when He looks at our works and our works will be tried. And then if we receive a reward, of course, we'll lay that at Jesus' feet. But He'll say this to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's not just for preachers and missionaries. That's for every one of us, everybody in the building this morning. God expects your life to count for Him by living a life of testimony and living a life to honor God, to influence your children. And Nathaniel did such a wonderful job through the week emphasizing that to us in regard to the messages he brought. I want you to think this morning about the greatest laborer you've ever known. I've been around people that worked, I mean, they were workers in various fields. Scott Matthews, who sings with the Rochesters and is an integral part of that group for many, many years now, his granddaddy was named Jesse. And he was a preacher and he started several churches, but he also did construction work. And when he was like 85 years old, he was still going strong. I mean, he was just robust and excited. And I talked to him sometime about his lifestyle and what he did and what he ate and this, that, and the other, and all those things. But he was, you could look at him and tell, he was strong and vibrant. Kind of like I remember about Moses, that said that Moses, when he died, his natural forces were not abated. He was still strong as he ever was, and God just took him home. Well, Jesse preached one Sunday morning, had lunch and said, honey, I'm going to go lay down and rest a little while before we go back for the evening service. And he laid down and he never woke up again. Just that simple. Just that simple. But boy, I think about people laboring and working I think about him. He was always upbeat. He didn't act like he was tired and give out and wore out. And I knew it was time he got that way. But I was impressed by him. But what about in the Christian realm? Who would you think about when you think about somebody that's got a zeal for the Lord and works for the Lord? Well, this morning I want us to look at our example in Christian labor. And we'll begin reading here in chapter number 9. I want you to look with me, please, at verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly life, in his earthly ministry. You remember when he was born, the angels pronounced him, there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He said himself, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had a life's mission when he came, incarnate in human flesh, and that was to come to give us life a ransom and to redeem fallen men. I'm sure glad he did. I'm glad he saved me, and I'm glad he saved you. That was his life. That's what he came to do. I want you to look at a couple of other passages in regard to our Lord. Look over in John, if you will, in chapter number 5. John chapter 5. Christ is our example in labor. Notice in chapter 5 and look at verse number 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. The word hitherto has this sense, until now. He said, God the Father's been working, and because of my relationship with my Father, I work too. I work also. Because I'm connected with Him, because there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know from the Scriptures, the Bible says that Christ created all things. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And so from the very beginning, Brother Barry and his Sunday school class has helped us understand that. There was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so they continued to work. It wasn't He worked 6 days or 7 days, 6 days and then rested on the seventh and He was through. He was finished with the work of creation at that point in time. But then there was the work of continuing to feed the birds and all the other things that happened and raise up kingdoms and take down kings and deliver Israel and send manna from heaven. All those things through all the Old Testament that God did. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, my Father's worked thus far, and so therefore I'm working too. And so He was in a body of flesh. He was continuing to work. Now, one other passage of Scripture I want to read before I begin to share with you the truths I have, I think, on my heart this morning. Turn all the way over to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at this passage of Scripture together. Here in this wonderful passage of Scripture, we see these truths about faith and about all the living by faith. But listen to what it says about our Lord here in verse number 7 of chapter 10. The Lord is speaking. They're quoting what the Lord said. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. The Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in human flesh, came to do the will of the Father. And did you know that God had a will for your life? God has a will for my life. And my consuming passion, whatever I'm doing, and as a pastor, a lot of times I was bivocational. I've worked building houses and working on farms and everything else. But whatever you do, you're to do it according to the will of God and as unto the Lord. And so here is Christ who came to do the will of the Father. God has a will for your life. And whatever your occupation is, whatever your job is, He's got you there for a reason. You're to be light and salt. And you're to shed light, but you're to be salt to create thirst. And my dear friend, God put you there to have an influence on people. If you live your whole life and you saw one person because of your influence come to know Christ, that would be a life well lived. We've all said, we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you'd been the only one in the face of the earth, He would have still come, He'd still suffered, He'd still bled, He would have still died because He wanted to save that which was lost. But if you lived your life and you had an influence on one person for Christ, you say, Brother Billy, I do these things, I don't see much results. God takes care of all that. But you live your life. I want to just quickly this morning to point out a few things from the passage I've just read you in the book of Matthew about our Lord, and then add a few things as we think about Christ, my example. How is it that I'm the laborer? How is it that I'm the serve? Notice the first thing I want to mention to you in this fifth chapter of Matthew, the ninth chapter of Matthew, and what he said about our wonderful Lord. He said this, and Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. I want to say to you in the first place, if you're going to be like Christ, your labor must issue out of compassion or love. The word compassion is a compound word. Com means with, and passion means to suffer. He looked at a lost and dying world, and he said they were like sheep that had no shepherd. They were like a harvest that was going to perish in the field. He looked at them like that, and he had a burden for them. He suffered with them, but he loved them. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God responded to the lostness of man in giving his Son, but he didn't quit loving us at Calvary. He loves us now. And everything that he did, everything Christ did, issued out of his love for people. My dear friend, if you're going to be a true laborer for Christ, you have to do it out of compassion, out of love. You love people. He said in this passage of scripture I read to you a while ago, he said, my Father works, hitherto I work. Have you ever thought that the reason God created this world and the reason he created man, because he loved us? He did not stop loving us at Calvary, but he did not start loving us at creation. The Bible said he loved us before the foundation of the world. And so every creative act that he did was because he loved us. He knew that he would fashion us in such a way that we'd have lungs and we must have oxygen for our bodies to function properly. So he created the atmosphere. He knew that our body would have to have nourishment. So he caused the earth to bring forth green herbs and fruits and all those things. And then later, everything of his creation. And you know why he did every bit of that? Because he loved us. He did that. He was making preparation for our coming into the world. And he said, my Father works. I looked at a few passages of scripture. I was thinking about work. You know, we don't like to think about that. But what about work? Labors, Christ our example. Did you know that the first mention of the word work is in the Old Testament? And it's in Genesis chapter 2. If you have your Bible, look at it with me. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. Here's the first time work is ever mentioned in the Bible. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he'd made. And he rested on the seventh from all his work, which he had made. God works. And the Lord said, my Father works, and that's why I work. And he's our Savior. He is our Father. And because of that, you and I are to serve. We are to work. We're to minister. We're to meet needs. And there's so many wonderful passages about his work in the Old Testament as I went through and looked at the work of God. This always blesses me. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3, it says, the stars are the works of his fingers. You know, just like that. He just put a few over here. You know, Bob Ross that paints, he'll put a little flower over here, a little something. Well, God just said, I think I put a galaxy over here and a galaxy over there and a galaxy over there, billions and billions and billions and billions of stars. And it was just his fingers that he did that with. Oh, listen, he's an awesome God. But he created all of that for us. And so then David comes on the scene. Here's what he said. He said, when I consider the stars and moon, what is man that thou art mindful of him? When I see what an awesome work God did and how God's created all of this, and because he did that man might see his greatness, might understand that there's not one thing. If God can create whole solar systems and whole galaxies, do you think he couldn't take care of you and meet your need? And he already made preparation and creation for everything that you need. And right now today, you're sitting here and we're all needy people and we need this and we need that and we got so many problems. But can I tell you something? God is not surprised that you're in the situation you're in right now, because he already loved you and he's already made preparation. And he said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God And that verse that I quote so often, it just really got big in my heart one day where the Lord said, the Father knows what things you have need of before you ever ask Him. He already knows what you need. He knows when you need patience. He knows when you need comfort. He knows when you need encouragement. He knows when you need food. He knows when you need money. He knows everything you need, and He's made a promise. I'll meet all of your needs according to the riches of glory. That's because He loved us. And out of love, we minister to people. People who need loving, people who need encouraging, people who need somebody to pray with them, people who need the gospel. And we share with them. And they may respond, they may not respond, but we know what to help them. We know what to change their life, what to make them a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Hitherto my Father works, and therefore I work. He said in Psalms 33 and verse 11 that all of His works are done in truth. Everything He does is real. There's no compromise. They say, you don't ever buy a car made on Friday because everybody's in a hurry. When I used to work in construction work down in Florida just as a laborer, some of the guys had this, he said, we'll just scab over it and go to the house. That means you're going to cover it up somehow, and other people won't ever know that it's not nailed properly, it's not measured right, we just hide it or whatever. But He does everything in truth. Every work He ever did was absolutely honest and clear. And if I'm going to be a laborer like Him, it has to be motivated by love, and it has to come out of truth. There's no hypocrisy. I'm not loving people for what I get out of them. I'm not trying to do it for a show or sham. He said all of His works were in truth. It's real. I love it, just that little phrase. And people say, that guy or that lady, they're the real deal. That means they're honest. It means that what they do is right and what they say is right. And we do it properly. And oh, what it is, all the things that it does. He said in Psalms 40 and verse 5 that the works of the Father are wonderful, full of wonder, surprise. And if you'll serve God with all of your heart, you'll be surprised at what He does with you and how He'll bless you. When you understand that it's not you, but it's Him, what a blessing it is. The Lord Jesus Christ served out of compassion because He loved people. But turn over in your Bible, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. In Philippians chapter 2, here's a wonderful passage of Scripture that I think it'll be a blessing to you. I've read it so many times, and it always blesses me. In chapter number 2 of the book of Philippians, if you make a note, just make a note, and you can look at it a little bit later. But I look down at verse number 4. It said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, here is the admonition of Paul to the church at Philippi, but it comes out of his heart of love for them and from the throne of grace where love is flowing through him in the person of Christ and from God the Father who loved us before the foundation of the world and created all things for us and then for the Holy Spirit of God who implements all of that in our life. And so this is the Lord speaking. He said, don't look every man on his own things, but look on things of others. If you're going to be a laborer like Christ, you're looking at others, their needs, what they need. You're looking at what they need. Listen to this. Listen to the testimony of our Lord. Let this mind be in you. He wants us to think like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We're not trying to imitate Him. We're trying to let Him work His life and live His life out through us. But He said, let this mind be in you. God wants you to have His heart. God wants you to have His spirit. God wants you to have His mind. And so He said, let the mind of Christ be in you. He said, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And what kind of mind was that? What kind of mindset did He have? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Watch this. But He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If I'm going to love and serve like the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have to come to this point when I recognize that I am a servant to everybody around me. I'm here to be a blessing to everybody around me. I'm not here to see what I can get out of them. I'm not here to manipulate them to get what I want. I am to live my life in such a way that I want to be a blessing to others. I don't care what you're involved in. You are to do that. When you think about people in the nursing profession or doctors, and we realize that they are there, they have a calling on their life. And they've taken an oath that they'll give their life to the healing of mankind. They give their life to serve others. And we talk about, I know we do, and we all do it, you know, about the money involved in this, that, and the other. But that's what God put in their heart. I believe that. And that's like police officers. No way a person could be a police officer, a highway patrolman, unless God put it in their heart. And so they do that because they're concerned about others. And as a Christian, you and I's life ought to count for others. Doesn't matter who they are, rich or poor, black or white, red or yellow, whatever. We care about them. We have compassion. But we have this commitment. Listen to what he said. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. That being in the form of God, he thought not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of the servant. Watch this. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. If you're going to serve like Christ, you must have that level of commitment. He is committed. He left glory. He clothed himself in a human body, knowing that he would be hungry, that he would thirst, that he could suffer, that he would weep, that he would die as a human being. And yet he was obedient even unto death. He was committed. In the garden, he prayed this prayer, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I read to you the verse a while ago where it says this, that he was committed to do the will of God. He said, I've come to do your will. And so my life and your life ought to be one of the will of God. And you say, well, Brother Billy, does that mean there's so many things I won't get to do? Not at all. Do you understand that the only place in this world you'll really find joy and happiness and fulfillment is living in the will of God? The Lord Jesus died so you could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He died so you would have peace of God that passes all understanding. So if you live in the will of God, trust in Him as your Savior, trust in Him as your Lord, yielding to Him and His plan for your whole life, He said this, you'll have the joy, the fullness of joy, and you'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding. If you can live in this world in 2021, and if you could have joy overflowing all the time, and you could have the peace of God all the time, what in the world else would you want? But the only way to have that is to live in His will. That's an old song Baptists used to sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If you're going to be a laborer like Him, you've got to have this commitment. I'm willing to live for Him. I'm willing to give my life for Him. I'm going to surrender to Him. And whatever His will is for my life, that's what I'll do. But in that context, I promise you, you'll find joy. You'll find peace. And you'll be able to enjoy all the things that are not sinful in the world, but you'll be able to enjoy the things that bring you real joy and real peace. He'll give you plenty of time to do what you think you want to do. Everything you do, you can glorify God. But can I say this to you? While you're there in Philippians, go just a little bit further over into the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want to show you another passage of Scripture here in regard to the wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter number 11 in the book of Hebrews, there's a verse number 6 I want you to look at. And listen to what it says right off the bat. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now the Lord Jesus Christ lived not only a life of compassion, not only a life of commitment, but a life of confidence. You live by faith. And it's impossible to please God without faith. He trusted God, the Father. He lived a life of obedience, the Bible said, even unto death. He trusted the Father, a life of confidence. He had boldness when He spake. The Bible said, no man ever spake like this man spake. He had faith. He had confidence when he was here on the earth. And God could give you that same boldness, that same confidence that you trust the Lord And you know this, you do know that the Word of God would not return void. When you're loving and you're working at work and you're trying to testify to people and they don't want to hear it and they're making fun of you, whatever, and you just ask God to give you opportunity and to live a life that honors Jesus, you're having an impact on them. You may not see it, but we're living by faith. We're trusting God to keep His Word. That if we'd be faithful, He'd be faithful. And in due season, we'd reap if we'd faint not. You just be faithful. Christ lived a life, my dear friend, of confidence. He was completely trusting God the Father. He lived his whole life that way, believing. He said this when he prayed in John 17, "Father, I know that thou hearest me always." He was confident about his prayer life. Do you think God hears you when you pray? He does. He hears you when you pray. You say, "Well, I'm not this and I'm not that. I'm not." It makes no difference. You're His child. Most of you have had children or no children. And you may have one who is a teenager and they were trying to get through high school, maybe even graduate this year. You may have one that's in middle school and you know, they've got their deal. But then you've got one that's a toddler. And so one will speak to you and talk to you almost like an adult now. One, you still talk to them like they're, a child, but maturing. The other one's different. One can verbalize and explain in detail what they need and what they want. The others can just, you know, they on a whim, they may want this, may want that. The other one can put two or three words together. But now, which one would you listen to? Which one would have your heart when they spoke? Just the teenager, or just the one in middle school, or the little toddler who's just saying a word or two? I want you to know that you don't have to be old, you don't have to know all the Bible for Him to hear your voice. And God, the Lord Jesus said, "I know you hear me." And my dear friend, if you're going to serve God, you've got to know that He hears your voice. Because there'll be times that there's nobody else that will hear. There'll be times that nobody else will understand, but you'll never come before Him in prayer that He doesn't know everything about you. And He's anxious to hear what you've got to say. The slightest cry, the slightest whimper, the moaning of your heart, I want you to know He knows everything about you. And Christ lived His life of confidence. Oh, listen, He lived a life of compassion. He lived a life of commitment. He lived a life of confidence. In John 17 is a verse that I share with you quickly this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is called the High Priestly Prayer. If you've never read it, you ought to read it on a regular basis and be blessed by it. But in this prayer, He prays some awesome things. But He said in verse number 4, "I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do." In other words, we know that He's not completely finished because this is happening just the day before Calvary. In just a little while, He'll bleed and suffer and die on the cross. In just a little while, He'll be buried and He'll come victorious out of that grave after 3 days. In just a little while, He'll be ascending back to the Father to await the rapture of the church when He comes back for all of His saints. But He said, "I have finished the work." And so the Lord Jesus Christ, as a laborer, He was committed and He was compassionate and He had confidence, but He finished the work God had Him to do. Now, what He had Him to do, nobody in all of history has had that to do. None. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He's the only way to heaven. But He came to make salvation possible for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And on the cross, He'll cry, "It is finished." That means that anybody in this building, anybody in the sound of my voice can know Christ today because He came to do the will of the Father. He came with a compassionate heart and He came committed and He obeyed Him even unto death. He was a laborer whose love and commitment and all that He did has brought to me eternal life through His death and burial and resurrection. I'm thankful for that, and I know that you are. But He finished the thing God had Him to do. I don't know what God's got for you to do. You say, Brother Billy, I've never did this. I've never done that. I've never gone to mission field. I don't know what he wants you to do. You remember the woman, the Bible, and I think Brother Nathaniel mentioned her. But when she came and she anointed the body of Jesus, he said she had done what she could. She's done what she could. And to do the will of God, it may be a simple thing. You know what? In that same passage of Scripture, I don't think Brother Nathaniel emphasized it, but you know it's there. He said, let me tell you something. He says, as long as the world stands, men and women will remember what she's done for me today. Here we are, 2021. I've just told you about it, and Nathaniel told you about it. One little thing. She anointed the Lord with ointment. I don't know what God's got for you to do. Maybe something what the world would consider big. But your life counts for Christ. And whatever you do, you want to come to this point in your life, I'm going to finish what He wants me to do. He completed His work. One last thing, and I'm through this morning. When you come to the book of Acts, there's an interesting statement, the way the apostle introduces this book. He said, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And while Christ completed on the earth what God had Him to do, He was not finished. He said all that Christ began to do. You see, Christ is working now. Christ is building the church. I don't know anything about church building. All I know how to do is love people like Jesus did and preach the gospel. But the Bible said I don't have to know, because the Bible says that He made this statement. He said, and upon this rock I will build my church. Did you know that you're redeemed this morning? You're part of His work. That was on His work order. Save you. Save Doug. I put you first, Doug, today. To save Billy. To save Regina. That was on His work list. Not just for Calvary, but in time. Did you know God knows you by name? The Lord knows you by name. And you're on His list. He loves you and died for you that you might have everlasting life. And He wants to save you. Every person who's ever been saved is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. He's still working. He's still adding. The Bible said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so He's still working. He's still serving. He's still reaching people. His work continues. Even after His earthly life was over, of course, He lives, but it continues on. I think about my life. Lord's let me live a little while, and I'm glad of it. I hope I got many more days to serve the Lord. But when I'm gone, will my work continue? Will I have influenced enough people that they will live for the Lord with a commitment? Will they live for the Lord with compassion? Will they live with the Lord with confidence, with faith in Him? Will they give their life to reach souls for Christ? Will they win souls and commit to their children, their grandchildren, those truths? You see, if we're going to be a laborer for Christ, we're not just living for now. We're living for eternity. Our influence goes on forever and ever after we're gone. And so I want to live my life in just that way, that I can love Him, serve Him. He said in John chapter 6, verse 24, these things have I done that you might believe. And His whole life was about trying to get folks to believe that He was a Savior and believing that He loved them and that He would save them, give them everlasting life. If you're going to be a laborer, I don't care what your occupation is, whatever you do, your life ought to count for Christ. It ought to touch people, to influence people. There are people who just need somebody to care. David wept and cried and said, I looked to my right hand, my left hand, and he said, no man cared for my soul. People around you ought to know that there's one person at work that cares. They'll know at school there's one person who really cares. That wherever you are and your influence on them, they ought to have an idea that you're the real deal and that you really care and that you've got the truth, something that'll help them. And let God give the increase. You sow, others water. Let God give the increase. God will take care of all that. But live your life in such a way that I honor Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is not finished with this work. I'm thankful for that. He went to that cross to prepare the way for us to go to heaven. But it's not complete, the whole plan. He's still got some other work to do. One of those works is to keep His promise about coming to take you to be with Him. He did that for Ricky this morning, for Ricky Pope this morning. Years ago, we dealt with Brother Ricky. Brother Ricky got saved over here, and Brother Barry, I guess you know this, but he said Brother Barry Barber led him to Christ many years ago, and he knew all those years he was saved. He worked in Sunday school and church, worked the youth program up at the Free Will Baptist Church. But God's influenced him through other people. My dear friend, you ought to touch somebody's life for Christ. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could influence somebody to where they live forever in a place called heaven, and your work would never really be done? They'll be there for all eternity, rejoicing in the Lord. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you know Him? Have you ever had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Some people are trying to live the Christian life, trying to do this, trying to do the other. You won't ever please Him. What pleases Him is believing. He said, I've done these things, you might believe on Him who sent me. And if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And if you exercise that faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, that'll please Him. You want to please Him this morning? You want to have joy this morning? You want to have a peace of God that passes all understanding? There's one way, one person. It's Jesus. Receive Him now. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? I'm sure glad that we have an example to follow. I'm glad that He wasn't, you know, dishonest in His dealings with people. You know, to be honest with you, I've worked around some people and sales and some other thing. There's all kind of little tricks you can do to manipulate people, get them to do things. I never really was impressed with those type of people. I was impressed with people who had genuine concern about somebody that they were trying to sell something to, that what they had would greatly benefit them, that they could afford it, and it would be a blessing to their family. And those things are good. A fair market value, honesty. And I'm going to just tell you right now, you can trust Him. I promise you all of His works are done in truth. I promise you that He is honest. Here's what He said. He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you're a man or woman, a boy or girl in the building or in the media arts this morning, you don't know Him, if you will come to Him by faith, He'll not cast you out. Come unto Me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My dear friend, He'll help you through those things you're going through. Just lean on Him. Trust Him. Oh, there are dark days. No way getting around it. But I want you to trust Him with all of your heart. Love Him. And praying that God will help you today. Our Heavenly Father, I've shared what You've laid on my heart. I believe Brother LaVon sang the songs You wanted us to sing as a congregation. I believe our Father that this morning, Calvin and Juanita minded You because that was what You wanted them to sing, and Brother Joe Berry. And God, You anointed all of that. I believe, God, that I've tried my best to obey You and what You laid on my heart. And our Father, I want to follow You. Lord, I've met a lot of wonderful Christians, men and women, people who taught Sunday school, and just church members who love the Lord, walk with God every day, mechanics and farmers and all kind of occupations. But Lord, I could just sense when I got around them that their life was a life of commitment to Christ. I knew what made them happy. I knew what gave them joy. I know what encouraged them in dark days. You were real in their life. And not only me, but many others saw it in them, and they had an impact for Christ. God, I want to do that. Lord, I believe every Christian in here wants to live like that. God, help us to follow You, live close to You. You fill us with Your own presence and love through us. God, give us commitment. Give us confidence in what You're doing. Help us, our Father, to complete the task You gave us to do. And God, help our work to continue after we're gone. And God, I pray, God, You'd bless here this morning. Now, while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, we'll not give a long invitation this morning. But Brother LaVon is going to sing a verse or so, a song for us.
Stand with me this morning. Turn to hymn number
149. 149, will you? And if God speaks to your heart, you come right now, will you? 149. Let's sing together and you come. Come around these altars. If I can help you pray with you, I'll do it. If you're not saved, I invite you to come right now. Come on right now while we sing. God bless you, Brother LeBron. Amen. Need to come and join these around the altar. Look to Him, trust Him.
Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly.
Trusting Him.
Trusting as
live your life like
the days go by.
Right now, will you?
Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Play for us. Do you trust Him? I want you to be encouraged in the Lord. We've been through a whole year of difficulty, but I'm going to tell you there'll be more down the road. But we ought to trust Him. And in all that we do, I pray God to make us a servant, make us a witness for Christ, and be a laborer together with Him. I'm sure glad I don't have to do it by myself. He's with me to use me. But while we have our heads bowed, can I ask you a question? First of all, if there's a lost person in the building, person that know, if you died right now, you don't know you'd go to heaven, I want to pray for you personally. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come to you. I'm not going to single you out in any kind of way. But if you're concerned about your never dying soul and you say, Brother Billy, if I died now, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. But will you pray for me? I'd like to know that at some point in time. Would you raise your hand? Across the building, anybody like that. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm looking right up, right back down. Thank you. Somebody else. Want to make sure, want to know that I'm saved. That's what's going to really count. Do you know it? Nothing like knowing Him. How many of you are Christians? You say, Brother Billy, I know that I've lived some of my life to honor Him. I've had a burden for people and I've tried to live, but man, the world and the troubles and the cares and sometimes just get preoccupied. Sometimes I know I hadn't been a very faithful servant. And can I tell you, I pray that so often in my journal, I write that down more probably than anything. Oh God, forgive me for not being faithful or doing all you want me to do. But if we pray one for another, you say, Brother Billy, I want you to pray. I do want to be a witness. I do want to be a good laborer. Whatever occupation you've got, you serving in that, you've got to give yourself to that. But in that, will you honor Jesus? Will you be a witness in that job? And you say, preacher, I want to do that. Would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking but me and the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, there's a whole sea of hands in front of me. And God, I know their heart. And God, we all want to be a blessing to others. We want to live our life. God, help us to honor you. And we bless your name for what you're going to do. And Lord, I pray for the one and others who may be in here that don't know for sure they're saved. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to do a real work, bring Holy Ghost conviction, and I pray by faith they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and know that they're saved. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.